In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with courage, Luisa, and courage in the divine will. But Jesus keeps on telling Luisa she has to be courageous. And this is part two. It gets better because from volume 20 through volume 36, it's how to receive again the divine inheritance of the Father. And this is something that is so amazing that our God has asked us. Predestined us to live at this time to receive this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. So we begin, Luisa, in volume 19, 518, 1926. Luisa, you too shall also be our trustworthy one. Now, she just talked about the Blessed Mother as the one who helped bring the kingdom of redemption on earth. God said, Jesus said, his mother was the most trustworthy one. As mother and queen. And now he says to Luisa, you are now to be also our trustworthy one, not to be equal to Our Lady, but the little daughter of the divine will, the little daughter of the Queen of Heaven. And he says, you are the one that is going to be trustworthy and the one responsible for the divine will entrusted to you and its guarantor. So she is the one, as Jesus says, guarantees that we can have this because of her, because of what Jesus and Mary gave to Luisa. Now God wants to give this to all of humanity. So again, the most glorious time to be alive. We love the saints. We love them teaching us how to do the will of God, but to live in the will of God is what God gave to Luisa. It is the divine will. She's responsible for the divine will entrusted to her. Now, while Jesus was saying this, I was taken by such fright. See, this is Luisa. She's so little. Jesus says, I entrust to you the divine will. You're the trustworthy one. You're the one responsible for the divine will to be given to the world. And she says, I was taken by such fright. I comprehended well the weight of my responsibility and fearing strongly that I might be put in danger, nothing less than the all of God. The weight and the work of this great gift of the divine will. So here Luisa becomes afraid. She becomes, how can I? Luisa always would say, I am nothing. Lord, you are everything. Her whole focus was always on Jesus. Her whole focus was always on how great our God is, how magnificent our God is. And she becomes afraid. And Jesus says, my daughter, courage. Do not fear. Now, this is the same thing that the Lord says to us. How are we, we're all sinners. How can we be trustworthy to go to Luisa? How can we constantly go to Luisa? And she's the guarantor of this gift. Won't we break away? Won't we, fall short? And this is something for us too. We have to be courageous. Do not fear of what's coming. See, fear is a demon. You know, love casts out all fear, casts out these demons. When we worry, when we're fearful, when we're anxious, when we're complaining, when we're negative, we're feeding the demons within. We're keeping them alive. And why Our Lady is so beautiful is from the first moment of her conception, which we just celebrated, the Immaculate Conception, Jesus says she always gave up her human will. She gave her human will to God, never wanting to look or even be aware of her human will. It was always surrendered to God because she knew with a divine perspective how Adam fell. He gave up the will of God. He gave up living in the will of God. And she says, I want nothing to do with this. And this is the life that Jesus and Mary taught Luisa. Courage. You must be courageous. Do not fear. It is your Jesus that wants to give you too much. Am I perhaps not free to give whatever I, God, want Do you perhaps want to put a limit to my complete work that I want to entrust to you? See, God's saying this to us as well. Am I not free to give whatever I want? Do you perhaps want to put a limit on my complete work that I want to give you, Louisa? I want to entrust to you, Louisa, so that Louisa will lead you, guide you, direct you to what I, God, want. A lot of people don't respect Louisa. They say, well, she did her part. Now we're going to do our part. That's not what Jesus says. Louisa is the one. He says, what would you say if my celestial mother wanted to accept me, the eternal word, but without his goods, without the acts that were needed to be able to conceive me? Would this be true love and true acceptance? Certainly not. So you would want my divine will without its works, without its acts, that act that befits it. So here Jesus is showing us this new and divine way of holiness that he's giving to Louisa. He says, look, what would happen? What would true love and true acceptance be if I, God, did not give to the Blessed Mother all that she needed to be able to conceive God? Would you want my will without its works, without its acts that befit this great gift? So Jesus is showing us that it's through Louisa that we have this gift. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? Who is she? That the divine will, the gift that Adam lost, is now breathed into her. Jesus redeemed us. Mary co-redeemed with him on Calvary. And now what God wants is he wants us to begin to live this abundant life. He really does. So in volume 28:19-26, my lovable Jesus, moving in my interior, clasped me to himself to infuse in me courage and strength. That's what we pray for. Jesus, as you move in my interior, as you moved in Louisa's interior, clasp me to yourself, infuse in me the courage, the strength that you breathed into Louisa. I want to have that same DNA, if you want to say, of Louisa, to prove to you that I want this gift, as Louisa did. She's the one. She's the newborn. And he told me, Louisa, my daughter, I do not want you to look at what you have written as your own, but to look at it as mine and as something that does not belong to you. See, this is what's so beautiful about the Book of Heaven. I remember way back, and it was 1995. It was around Christmas time, and we had just read, I think it was volume 13. And at the end of the cenacle, somebody took the book and threw it on the floor. They just threw it on the floor. And I said, what are you doing? I said, Jesus says that this is about him. This is Jesus's. Do you understand what the Book of Heaven is? And then I realized I never really explained that to the prayer group. So I said, well, let's get gold paper and let's wrap. We had volume 1 through 19 in Italian at that time. And let's wrap it up in gold. And we put a bow on it. We wrapped it up. We put it on the altar. And we all knelt down and we all said, thank you, Jesus, for this gift. Thank you, Jesus, for this Book of Heaven. And we said, Lord, can we have the rest of the volumes? Because we were longing for the rest of the volumes. And I, all of a sudden, it was very clear Jesus was going to give us the volumes. And I turned around and said to the prayer group, I said, we're going to get the rest of the volumes. And it was as clear as day. Someone somewhere finally said, thank you for this Book of Heaven. Can we have the rest of it? 6 weeks later, I'm in the Vatican and we're in the secret archives of the Vatican and we're copying the writings of Louisa. See, Jesus is looking for those who long for this gift more than anything. And when we have this Book of Heaven, it's not a regular book. Jesus says this. He says there's many, many books. Libraries are filled with books. He says, but the only book that can transform a soul is the book of heaven. And those who have been blessed to read, to study this, to put this into practice, understand that that is true. It's a new and divine way of holiness that God is giving to us. And we're nobodies. We're nothings. We don't deserve anything. He alone is the Lord, our God is holy. He's the Holy One. He's the Savior. He's our King. And what he has done is he's predestined us to live at this time so that we have this book of heaven. So he says, I don't want you to look at what you are reading as your own, but look at what you are reading as it is mine, Jesus says, as something that does not belong to you. You must not enter into it at all. I, God, shall take care of everything. That's the glory of the divine will. See, the saints built hospitals, built orphanages, built schools, built convents, built rectories, built institutions, built palaces, the basilicas. I don't want you to look at what you have is written is that you are writing, that you are reading as your own, but look at it as mine. It is something that does not belong to you. It's a gift from God. Therefore, you must not enter into it at all, basically to take charge of it. If you're printing the books for money, you're going to get what you want. You're going to get money. Guaranteed. But if you're printing it so that the kingdom can be established on earth as in heaven, this is what Archbishop P. Cherry said. The prayer groups could have these books, he said, but make sure that you have a priest to help you get through these difficulties that's going to come as you read. This understanding of the church, what the church is all about, understanding what priesthood is all about, Jesus explains in the book of heaven. And unfortunately today, sorry, many people love to Protestantize the book of heaven. This is my understanding. Therefore, this is what it's about. Jesus says, he says, don't enter into it as yours. I, God, will take care of everything. Therefore, I want you to entrust it to my care as you read, as Louisa writes, as we read. I will take care of it, the Lord says. So many people say, I've read it over and over and over, and I can't remember. That doesn't matter. Read. Study. Strive to put it into practice. God will take care of the rest. When you need to know it, if you have read it, and if you studied it, and if you put it into practice, it will come back to you. Nothing to worry about. Just keep on reading. I know some people said, I'm so in love with volume one that I'm focused on volume one. It's so great. It's so wonderful. And Jesus is saying, read, not just volume one, read. That's why I love the calendar. The calendar, you do all 35 books. You have to read volume one separately because volume one doesn't have any dates in it. So we go by the calendar. It's all the dates that are there, but we read volume one and it's special. It really is special. So I want you to give this book to me as gift that I, God, may be free to do whatever I, God, want. I want you to entrust this book to my care, Jesus says. And as you read it, as Louise has written, I want you to give it back to me as a gift that I may be free to do whatever I, God, want. And you may be left only with what you need in order to live in my divine will. God's going to take care of it. He says to Louisa, enough, get out of my way. Let me do this. I as God can do this for you. This is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. This is the breath that Adam breathed in, the image and likeness of God. Through holy baptism, we're in God's image. And now Jesus says, I want you to give the likeness. So give it back to me, what you read. I'll be free to do what I want. And you may be left only with what you need in order to live in my divine will. I, God, have given you, Louisa, as many precious gifts for as many knowledges, these truths, these lessons, these promises, these prophecies that I've manifested to you, Louisa, and now to us. And you want to give me no gift? Breathe this in and then give it back to God. And God, Jesus in you giving it back to the Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you're doing. This is what it means to be truly become a son or daughter of God. It's really a new beginning for all of humanity. And Jesus is asking us, are you willing to begin to live this abundant life? Volume 20, 10, 2, 19, 26. Louisa, my daughter, courage. We're going to need a lot of courage for what we're going to go through. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But God's going to win. You have to be courageous. We're fighting in a battle, and we have to have that mantra, if you want to say, of Saint Joan of Arc. I am not afraid. I was born for this time. God is with me. And those three things are so essential. But Jesus is saying to us, you're going to go through more than what Joan of Arc went through. Joan of Arc went through fighting human battles. You're going to be fighting a divine battle. You're going to be fighting principalities and powers. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to be the one that's going to lead you in this charge. I'm the one that's going to fight. You're going to be my army, but it's an army of love. It's not a war of blood. So he says, do you think that everything that passed between me and you shall be known? See, Louisa was going, I don't want anybody to know me. Do you think everything that passed between me and you, Jesus says, are going to be known? No, my daughter, I shall make known what is necessary for them, that which regards the kingdom of my supreme fiat, or rather, I, God, shall be even more generous compared to what creatures shall take of this kingdom of mine. To give them free field. This is God. God loves us so much that each and every one of us is his divine masterpiece. He's doing this. He says, I'll be even more generous compared to what creatures shall take of this kingdom of mine, to give them free field in order to advance more and more so as to let them expand their possession in the supreme fiat, and that they may never say enough. We have no place else to reach. If this goes on for all eternity, it's the awe of God, as St. Thomas Aquinas tells us. When we enter into this gift, it's the awe of God. This is so magnificent. It is so beautiful. As you read this, as you study this, you just fall more and more in love with God. You fall more in love with the Blessed Mother. You fall more in love with Louisa. You fall more in love with the Holy Church. You know God is going to take care of this. Volume 20, 10, 6, 19, 26. My Jesus, my love, what kind of new martyrdom is this, never before felt, to die times upon times and yet never dying, to feel life missing in me without the sweet hope of taking flight toward my celestial fatherland? So here, this is where we are. When you're in the divine will, you're always dying to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. You don't want that in your life anymore. You know all the rest of the world is living, supposedly, but you feel life is missing in you without the hope of real life, heaven, without the sweet hope of taking flight towards my celestial fatherland. And Jesus said, Louisa, little daughter of my will, courage. You have to have courage. God is going to take care of everything. We depend on him. Our dependency, our life is on him. You are right, Jesus says, that it is your life that you feel missing in you. Because deprived of me, Jesus says, you feel the life of your Jesus missing. So you can see what's happening, what you're experiencing, this dying to self. You're feeling the life of Jesus missing, ending within you. And with reason, tiny little one, as you are, you feel the hard martyrdom of life ending in you. What's happening is the world is ending in us. World, it's dying in us. All that like the last thing that you pray and your prevening act in the morning is, I want nothing more of earth. I only want that of heaven. Why? May kingdom of God come on this earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. Volume 20, 11, 6, 1926. Louisa, my daughter, courage. Let me finish manifesting to you what is necessary regarding the kingdom of my divine will. Now, this is 1926. Louisa lives till 1947. He says, Lord, Louisa, you got to be courageous. There's more that I have to show you. And it's the same thing for us. Somebody said, once said to me, I just read all 36 volumes. Now what do I need to do? And I was like, read it again. It's brand new when you read it again. And when you're done, read it again. It's brand new. He keeps on expanding our capacity. You're never done with this. It's that word that Jesus speaks is infinite, he says. As Jesus speaking these words, he says they are divine lives. He says, let me finish manifesting to you what is necessary regarding the kingdom of my divine will, so that nothing may be lacking in order to form the kingdom of God in the midst of the human generations, the human family. Jesus is doing this. We have been blessed to live at this time. This is the time where everything's going to change. Everything is literally going to change, so that nothing may be lacking in order to form the kingdom in the midst of humanity. And then Jesus says, after I, God, have completed everything, I, God, shall quickly bring you to the fatherland, to our fatherland. See, heaven is very close. Heaven is very, very close. Do you think that you shall see the full triumph of the kingdom of the eternal fiat before you come to heaven? It is from heaven that you will see its full triumph. So Jesus is saying to us, you're my army that's going to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. How? By living a life of peace, joy, and happiness. By living a life of heaven. He says, and when you are brought to that perfection, then I will take you to heaven. Volume 20, 11, 10, 1926. Louisa, my daughter, courage. Do not stop. Let your flight in my eternal will be continuous. I remember when we were in Dallas at the conference in Dallas, we were at the American Airlines, and I was trying to say to everybody, let's use that. Continue your flight in my divine will. And it was only, it was only afterwards they go, oh yeah, that's what Jesus was saying. Yeah. Continue your flight. This is a new and divine way of holiness that God is calling us to live. Do not stop. Let your flight in my eternal will be continuous. The soul who lives in the divine will comes to enclose within herself all the acts that my divine will does in all of creation. To be like God. To do what God does. Do you see how this? See, God has done everything. And he says, now I want to share my divinity with you. Are you willing to enter into this abundant life? Jesus says, are you willing to do this? So Jesus says, so the soul must do what the God does, what the divine will does in heaven. The soul must do what the sun does, what the sea does. The soul must enclose everything within herself so that the soul may follow all the acts of my divine will. See, it's not just to look at the sun and thank you, Jesus, for the sun. It's to enter into the sun. It's not just to recognize the Lord in all that's around us, but entering into it. And this is what Jesus teaches Louisa. And God is teaching us the same thing. And not only this, but so that my divine will may receive the requiting act of the creature. Therefore, if your act is not continuous, this is every breath, every heartbeat, every step, every thought, every word, every deed, my will does not wait for you. My divine will follows its course, but it leaves you in the void of its acts. So Jesus says, don't lose a moment. Don't lose a moment while living in the divine will. Don't lose a moment. It follows its course and it leaves you in the void of its acts. And at a certain distance and dissimilarity remains between you and God, my divine will. God doesn't want that dissimilarity anymore. He wants us to be in his image and likeness. And this is what he's calling us to. If this new and divine way of holiness is a new beginning for all of humanity. Volume 20, 12, 3, 19, 26. Louisa, my daughter, courage. Do not lose heart. I do not leave you. We are never alone. Jesus is always with us. You have to be courageous. You have to begin to recognize that your heart is where the throne of God lives. Your soul is where the Father lives, our Heavenly Father lives. Jesus teaches us this. And what's coming is this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that we can again become one with God as Adam was one, as Jesus lived, as Mary lived, one with God, which they breathed into Louisa. And he says, this is so true that it is always from within your interior that I come out to spend time with you. Is Jesus beating in your heart beating? Do you begin every morning by your prevenient act? Lord, beat in my heart beating, breathe in my breathing, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening, speak in my speaking, dance in my dancing. He says, it is always within your interior that I come out to spend time with you. If you do not always see me, I do this to give you the field in order to follow that single act of God, the prime act of God in the divine will that contains all the acts together. So again, that goes back to your prevenient act. You say to the Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I want to be fused with you, Triune God, by fusing myself with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. So that what? I can enter in the divine will. Why? So I can enter the prime act of God. For what? To make my round of creation, round of redemption, praising God, loving God, glorifying God, as you, Jesus, did, as Mary did when you were on earth. This is what you gave to Louisa. And God goes, why do you want to do this? It's to enter that prime act of God. Why? So that it's no longer of earth that I care about, but it's heaven. That's my life on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 20, 1, 23, 19, 27. Jesus, to cheer me, placed himself with his face in front of my chest. And as he breathed over me, a light came out of his breath. This is what the priest does at the Eucharist. He breathes on the bread. He breathes on the chalice filled with wine. And that not only served not only for my soul, but also for to recompose my whole body. We want to go back to our Triune God when he breathed into the dust, this Ruah of God, this breath of God. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. This breath of Jesus is very, very important. This is putting it into practice. Jesus, breathe in me. Fill me with that spirit of God. Fill me with that life, that light, that love that you are. So as the breath would cease, my body would fall apart. And Jesus, to cheer me, said to me, Louisa, daughter, courage. Don't you see that the mere breath and light of my divine will recomposes also your body? So that if I stop my breath, your body shall fall apart and you shall immediately take the way back to our celestial fatherland. What Jesus is showing us here is that he wants us to be conscious of your breath. Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. I never want to be separated from you. I always want to be one with you. So our prayer, our breathing becomes a prayer. Volume 20, 2, 19, 19, 27. I was continuing in my flight in the divine fiat, and my sweet Jesus made himself seen and coming out from within my interior and braiding his hands with mine, invited me to fight with Jesus. See, we're in this battle. We're going to win because we are fighting with Jesus, one with him. And she says, I was so very little that I did not feel capable or strong to fight with him. So more so since a voice came out from within a divine light that said, Louisa, she is too little. How can she win this fight? And Jesus answered, on the contrary, it is because she is little that she can win, because all the strength is in littleness. Do you see the difference? The humanity says only the strong will survive. Jesus says the meek, the little, will inherit the earth. The lie of the earth is that you have to be in charge, you know. And that's why Jesus said to his apostles, you know how the people in charge lord it over one another. He says, it shall not be that like that with you. Jesus is our Lord. Mary is our mistress. This life of the new Adam and the new Eve breathed into Louisa is ours in our littleness. That's why when Father Bucci said, if you want to live in the divine will, you've got to be little, insignificant, and hidden. I remember as an altar boy, the pastor, well, the assistant said, he says, when you're in the sanctuary, you are not to move. You know, and it's like, yeah, a young boy is fidgety, you know, and he says, I want you invisible. I want you so invisible that you're not interrupting anyone's prayers out there. So we would sit perfectly still. And that was the most difficult thing in the world to do. Perfectly still, perfectly still. Not to wiggle, not to, but that taught that discipline at that age taught that helped me with the divine will. It's not about me. It's about God. God is the one. I have to disappear. God has to reign. I can't be. It's not about any human. It's about the Lord God Almighty, Jesus, Mary, and now the newborn, Louisa. He says, it's because of your littleness that you can win. All the strength is being little, insignificant, and hidden, invisible. Louisa says, I was disheartened, nor did I dare to fight with Jesus. Inciting me to the fight, he said, Louisa, my daughter, courage. And this is our God. Try. If you win, you shall win the kingdom of my divine will. Nor should you stop because you are little, because I, God, have placed at your disposal all the strength of all created things, so that together with your fights, all the strength contained in heaven, all the strength contained in the sun, all the strength contained in the water, all the strength contained in the wind, all the strength contained in the sea, they all wage battle on me. We're going to win because God is with us. There's nothing to be frightened of. It's Jesus said as it. Jesus says this. It's true. Psalm 21:4-12, 19:27. Poor Louisa, poor daughter, courage. You do not know everything about what it means to live in my divine will. Now that's important for us. We don't know everything about what it means to live in the divine will. Now Jesus is talking to Louisa, who lived in the divine will. You don't know everything. And it's always a surprise. It's always a joy. It's always a happiness to read. Jesus keeps on filling us with himself. It possesses perfect balance and all of its nature, all of its attributes are in highest concord, nor is any of them inferior to any other. See, these divine attributes are of God, highest concord. And none of them are inferior to the other. It's the same thing with us. What God is going to breathe into each and every one of us is of the highest concord. And none of us are inferior to any other person. Each person, Jesus says, will become my divine masterpiece. And when it is necessary to punish the peoples for their many sins, my divine justice demands these voids that you be without me, Louisa. And that's where we are as well. Jesus is far from us. Why? We don't see him. He's right with us, but we see him. These are the voids that we're going through. And our life, we begin to have that desire, that longing, that wanting to be with Jesus. This is why we go to Eucharistic adoration. We want to be with him. And again, it's not a place for reading. It's a place for falling in love with our Eucharistic Lord. This is why we have Eucharistic adoration. He says, my justice demands these voices that you be without me so as to be able to balance itself by sending the scourges they deserve. Therefore, it puts you as though aside in my divine will and it follows its course. God's going to take care of it. We're following this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied about at the canonization of St. Anna de Francia. Volume 21, 512, 1927. My daughter Louisa, when I call souls in a special and extraordinary way, and that's what God is doing with us, he's calling us in a special and extraordinary way. I act like a king when he elects his ministers, and together with them, he forms the laws and dominates and rules the kingdom. So I do. I, God, call these souls to participate in my regime, in my dominion, not the dominion of these election booths, God's dominion. And I form the laws, the rule of the whole world. And since I, God, have called you, Louisa, in a special way, and now us with Louisa, who she was the one that was called in a special way, to make you live in the royal palace of my divine will, my volition itself brings you the most intimate secrets, and it shows you the grave evils, the wars, the infernal preparations that shall destroy many cities. You got to be courageous of what's coming. However, you must know that many times my ministers dissuade the king from forming punishing laws, and if they do not obtain everything, they always obtain something. In the same way, it shall be for you, Louisa. If you do not obtain everything, see, Louisa would say, don't punish the peoples, punish me. As long as you remain on earth, you shall obtain something. Therefore, pluck up courage. Let this fight of my divine will be continuous. Get in this continuous fight, Jesus says. This is what he's waiting for. This is what he's longing for. He says, volume 22, 6, 1, 1927, Louisa, my daughter, courage, I do not leave you. Jesus never leaves us. You might feel alone, but you're not. Jesus is within. You have to get to know the King who reigns in your heart. You have to get to know the Father who reigns in your soul. You have to be begging God for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming upon the earth. Quick, that it happens quickly. Volume 22, 6, 1, 1927. Louisa, my daughter, courage. I do not leave you. On the contrary, you must know that your Jesus knows how to make and how I can make all miracles except for the miracle of separating from my own. We belong to him. He cannot separate himself from us. He can't. He's always with us. He might be hiding, but he's with us. He's with us, and we have to seek him. If my divine will is in you, how can I leave you? And if I did so, I would be Jesus without life. Rather, it is the endlessness of my fiat that hides me. And while you feel its life, you don't see your Jesus who is inside of it, inside of your life. The endlessness of my fiat is that hides me. And while you feel its life, you don't see me, Jesus says. Then when I was feeling very afflicted, not only because of his privations, my sweet Jesus, but also because I had received the unexpected news of the death of Father de Francia, I poured out in tears, commending to Jesus that this blessed soul, Father de Francia, who had suffered so much and worked for Jesus, that while I was doing this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and he told me, my daughter, courage. You must know that everything which that soul so dear to me has done, all the knowledges he has known about my divine will, has caused him to enclose as much light within his soul. This is, I sent this to the postulator of St. Anna de Francia. And this is the painting that's in the back of the church, this painting of St. Anna de Francia, radiating in divine light. He says, courage, you must know that everything which that soul so dear to me has done, all the knowledges, all the truths, all the lessons that he has known about my divine will has caused him to enclose as much of this divine light within his soul. So each additional knowledge is a greater light that St. Honorable de Francia possesses. Each knowledge places a distant light in the soul, one more beautiful than the other. And together with this seed of distinct happiness, which is the divine will, that each contains. In fact, in any good that, sorry, that the soul can know with her will of putting into practice within herself, she, us, remains in possession of the good that she knows, the good that she has learned, the good that she possesses. Volume 22, 8, 12, 1927. I felt myself in the terrible nightmare of his privation. Poor daughter, how you suffer. Courage. I do not want you to reduce yourself to these extremes. You oppress yourself too much. Yet you should be consoled. Your interior is a continuous speaking before the divine majesty and a continued act and a speaking ever unceasing before God. This is what I want. Loving God, praising God, thanking God, glorifying God, worshiping God. Be consoled. Your interior, this is what you do with your prevening act. Let every heartbeat, let every breath, let every thought, let every word be an adore. I adore you. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. Your interior is in continuous speaking before the divine majesty and continued and a continuous act. And in speaking ever unceasing before God, wanting, begging, pleading that the kingdom of my divine fiat bring with itself the certainty of victory. So, Jesus says, either you have won or you are about to win. That's how we have to live. Either we have won with God or we are about to win. This is all positive. There's no failure in this unless we turn to the dark side. Volume 23, 10, 23, 1927. Luisa, my little daughter, this little girl, she sees the soul. He says, is the image of your soul timid in receiving the light and the knowledges of our divine will. But I, God, shall drown you with so much light. He wants us to enter into this love, this light, this life of God, that you may lose what remains of the timidity of your human will. We have to be courageous. We have to fight to the death. We have to have the zeal, the fervor that Jesus is asking of Luisa and now asking of us. There's no stopping this. God is going to win. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom, Jesus said 2,000 years ago, is at hand with Luisa. The kingdom is here. Why? He says, because in mine, there aren't these weaknesses, but courage, divine strength, divine insurmountable and invincible strength in order to form the kingdom of my divine fiat in the soul. I, God, lay all the knowledges about my divine will within the soul as the foundation. This is where we begin. It's the foundation of this kingdom of God. Courage, faithfulness, obedience. And then I, God, take possession. God is doing this. Laying my very life within the soul in order to have my true kingdom. This is what Jesus is saying. His true kingdom. That's what he wants. That's what he has planned. How glorious this is that our God has given us this great gift of the divine will. How amazing this is that our God wants us to begin to have this zeal, this fervor for the kingdom of God reigning in us, this dust as it is in heaven. So we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.